We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome back. Another episode of New Orleans Football. We're just going to kind of hit the live stream here, answer all your questions, talk about Rashid Shaheed, some of the staff moves, what they need to do to finish filling out that staff, and just kind of the state of the Saints heading into this weekend's Super Bowl, where new OC Clint Kubiak will be coaching for the last time for the San Francisco 49ers. We're presented by PJ's Coffee. And if you need a new car, make sure you go check out my guy, Matt Bowers, best car dealer in the whole entire world. He'll get you the best prices, the best customer care, and anything else you need to have the best car buying experience. All right, we'll be right back after we hit these quick ads. The New Orleans Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86-proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Stop Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is excited to announce the opening of their new engagement salon. Friend & Company has a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from. And while you're there, check out their Florida Lee earring and necklace. They are specially priced for our NOF audience. And guys, make sure you're asking all your questions in there. We're going to be keeping an eye on the live chat, pulling in your questions as we mix in some of these topics that we do every single week on the show. All right, so lead question, what qualities should the Saints seek for in their open staff jobs? DJ Williams isn't coming back. Doug Marrone isn't coming back. They have an opening at running backs, opening at quarterbacks coach, opening at tight ends. Tight ends is filled by Clancy Barone. O-line's open, wide receiver's open. And the only person that's staying is Clancy Barone right now. He coached with Kubiak in Denver. Kevin Petrie's still around as the assistant wide receiver coach. So there's a couple holdovers from the last staff, but this is going to kind of be a complete and entire makeover top to bottom. And I think they kind of need it. I mean, look, if you're going to bring in Clint Kubiak to be the offensive coordinator, he should be coaching with people that he's comfortable with that can help him sell his system, install his system, get people on the same page. people that share the same principles. You aren't trying to teach people, you know, the Shanahan system, the Kubiak system. Like, they're coming in already knowing it, and then you're installing them into them positions. But I think it's important to get the right guys for that stuff. Like, I think the QB's coach needs to be somebody that can help teach things and help Derek Carr get along in the system quicker than he has previously when he's went into a new system. If you go through like his history, he's changed OCs a lot, and he's shown the ability to pick the stuff up, but it's usually year two where he kind of settles in with a lot of that stuff. So I think whoever that is needs to be someone that can help make everything really digestible, quick, easy stuff that he can just pick up and go and be good with from the beginning, because there isn't a huge runway here for them to be able to figure this stuff out. Like, DA's on the hot seat. This stuff has to work quick. You don't have 2 years. You have this year, and you really have September, because if you get off to a slow start, this thing could derail quickly, and then you get the locker room in this place of like maybe disarray again, where it's like, here we go again. It's not working, and people are kind of not feeling good about where they're at. So I think that you need to figure that out quickly right away, and it's not even like an August thing. Like, you need to have that thing figured out going into camp. Use the off season, be good to go, and make sure that everything's picked up quick, easy, understood, and ready to go for the quarterback. The running backs coach, you know, I think it's just kind of teaching the outside zone. I mean, it's somebody that has to be well-versed in that, understanding it, reading it, understanding it, all that stuff. So that one shouldn't be too hard to fill. Wide receiver, someone that can just keep helping with the development of these guys. You know, I don't think that one should be too hard to fill. I think O-line is the next most important one, though, because you need somebody that can get Cesar Ruiz back on track. I thought he was good 2 years ago. Last year was okay, but you need to get him back to that level that he was at 2 years ago. The first year under Marone, when he kind of had that elevation a little bit, you need to get him back to that level. And you need somebody that can potentially save Trevor Penning. And I don't know if that's mission impossible or not, but, you know, I think you need to get someone that's a good teacher, someone that can, you know, understand him. But then also, again, it's the outside zone stuff, somebody that's just well-versed in all that stuff. But I think that developmental aspect has to be a huge part of that. So I think those are really important things for this team going forward, and they got to be able to figure some of that stuff out. All right, let's get into some of your guys' questions here. Pulling up the first one from John Sigler. The NFL is moving more and more games overseas. Where would you most want to see the Saints play an international series game? Someone was just on my ass online because I said they should send the game to Spain, and they told me to F off. But like, look, I kind of think it's cool to see the international stuff. And it's just, for me, like going over here, meeting people from different countries. Like, we had the huge party in London, and it was just like unbelievable how many Saints fans were there. And I know, you know, I took a vacation to France a couple of years ago, and like there were Saints bars all over the place. Like, just seeing the international presence, I think is kind of incredible. And it's just cool to see how much it means to those people. And that's not to take for granted what it means to people here. Like, obviously, we know what it means to Saints fans, you know, being a company that covers the team and feels the love. Like, you guys have built our company off that. So we feel it every day. Like, we see it every day. We appreciate it every single day. But like, seeing it for the first time through their eyes, like, I don't know, it's just kind of like energizing, and it kind of gives you an appreciation for the sport overall. So really, like, anywhere international game is cool to me. I mean, I think Paris would obviously be a cool spot for it, because there, I think there is kind of built-in fan base. There's synergies there. That's the international tie-in with this team. So if you had to let me pick a spot, that would probably be the one spot that I would go. You know, I know Brazil has a ton of Saints fans too. Just being on Twitter, like, they have their fan club down there, and there's a ton of them. They have a podcast on there I've done a couple times. I mean, there's a lot of excitement there. So that would be probably next on my list, but like, really anywhere. But I mean, I kind of like the games being here more than away, because it's just, I don't know, it's easier. But it's cool to go places and kind of see it. So I mean, just from that like aspect of like getting outside of like what's best for us covering the game or whatever, like seeing it through people's eyes for the first time, I think is always really cool. And it just is kind of like reinvigorating on that appreciation of things. All right, next one from Kobe. What goes into the process of deciding from a head coach, new head coach coordinator perspective, who to keep from a previous staff? Well, I mean, I think they kind of go through it and just see the tie-ins and see who fits, who doesn't fit, all that stuff. Just kind of do it that way. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just kind of like an individual evaluation of each person. And they go through it and they kind of see who fits and who doesn't. and they go through that process of just trying to figure it out. So obviously kind of everybody's gone already. DJ Williams was offered the wide receiver's job. Ronald Curry was offered the wide receiver's job. He didn't want to do it. He left. He went to Buffalo to become the QB coach. I'm assuming DJ Williams went through a similar process, and he's going to go somewhere where you kind of stay attached to QBs. And look, like if you go through the position groupings or whatever, like if you're an offensive coach, like QB is usually the next step to being OC. So going backwards, the wide receiver is almost like a demotion. So it makes sense that they would do it that way and kind of not want to step backwards if you're Ronald Curry, because it takes you a step further away from being a offensive coordinator. So that's usually the progression. So him going backwards, I don't think makes a whole lot of sense. But I think that's just kind of probably how they're going to do it. They go through it, they look at each guy, and they've kind of went through that process already. So I don't expect any more major changes. I think the guys that are probably still here is still here, but we'll see. All right, next one. With the way the 49ers have traditionally utilized the tight end in their offense, do the current tight ends on the Saints roster fit that mold, or do you think they'll look elsewhere to fill that role? This is interesting to me, and I just wrote about it on our website. If you aren't signed up, 20% off, use the code MOTION, 20% off your first payment. If you sign up there, you get an extra podcast every week, all of our analysis. And if you don't even want to read it, just signing up for that helps us grow and build this here, the video aspect of it. So just make sure you sign up if you want to support. But yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. And if I've just finished watching the 49ers season, and you know, obviously, I think the way they use George Kittle is exceptional, and I think it's a huge key to a lot of the stuff they do. It helps with the disguise. There's not any tells because he's so good at blocking. He's so good at receiving. You can come out in a run formation and pass with him, and you kind of get the mismatch there, and you get him on a linebacker. You put him in motion, and there's just different stuff they do with him to where it's like he's almost like a cheat code within that offense. And I think that it is something that allows them to kind of execute their offense at a higher level. And I think if you have that type of player, you can do some of that stuff. And maybe we're going to talk about another guy in the draft, but like maybe if you get a dual type player, it does help out a lot with some of those things. But Miami doesn't have that type of player, and they run this offense exceptionally well, and they're still able to get around it. Houston didn't have that type of player, and they still run this offense exceptionally well. So I don't think it's dependent on it, and I don't think you have to get a tight end type. But I think if you get that type of player, it allows you to replicate some of that stuff a little bit better, just like with their fullback. And I'm not even going to try to say his name. I'm going to butcher it. But if you have that type of fullback that can catch some passes and do all the stuff and line up a tight end, and you know, it kind of gives you that versatility where the disguise is kind of the main thing. And I think that's the core element of the 49ers offense, is that they run about 30 plays a game. You know, there's about 30 plays like on their play sheet, but like they run them different ways. And that's kind of something that Sean used to do a lot too. Like they'd run the same play three times out of three different looks in the same game. And it kind of keeps the defense guessing, and it just makes it easier. You don't have to digest as much information. You know the play, but you make it look different. You run it the same way, and it ends up looking exactly the same for the quarterback, but you just put the window dressing on it. So I think that's kind of the core thing of the 49ers offense when you look at it. It's just, it's complexity, but it's simple at the same time. And it's complexity to the defense, but simple for the offense, simple for the quarterback, and it makes life easier. So if you have these players that can be the chess pieces, and you can move Kittle around a bunch of different places, he does different things, or the fullback a bunch of different places, he does a bunch of different things, it makes it easier to do all this stuff and make it look different and harder on the defense. So if you can get that type of player, I think it's huge, but I don't think it's quintessential to success either. All right, let's get into let me get this graphic up. All right, moment of the day presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. This ties into the last one. ESPN's Matt Miller recently mocked Georgia tight end Brock Bowers to the Saints. How would he fit in the system? And then just playing into that answer, I mean, I think he's kind of the perfect player for that if you're going into the draft. And he actually might be there at 14, depending on how some different stuff goes within the offense. So, or within the draft. But if you could get him, I mean, I think it's kind of a perfect thing. I would prioritize other positions, I think, before it, all things being equal, depending on what they do in free agency. Obviously, if you get the pass rusher, the offensive tackle, you're opened up to do anything in the draft. But I think if you can get that type of player at tight end, I mean, it's outstanding. And I mean, we've all been watching Georgia for a while. They're on TV all the time, always, you know, Final Four or whatever. But he's the guy, 56 catches last year, 26 career TDs, great blocker. If you can get Bowers, I would go out there and get him for sure, because it just unlocks everything. And then you can do all those disguised elements, and you don't have run pass tells, where I think you kind of do a little bit, where if you're putting in Foster Moreau now, the probability of it being a run is a little bit higher than if it is Juwan Johnson out there is a single tight end. If it's, you see Juwan, it's probably going to be pass. I mean, you can kind of bet that way a little bit, or at least be, you know, kind of prepared. You don't necessarily sell out on it as a defender, but if you kind of know what's coming based on the personnel, that takes away some of the effectiveness of the offense. So having a dual threat type guy opens it up so much. I mean, Patriots were so effective with Gronk because you couldn't really tell and you didn't have those tells. So it's the same type of principle here. So I think if you can do those different types of things, you can be more effective as an offense running it that type of way. So, all right, let's get into the next one here. We already answered that one. Should the Saints consider trading Trevor Penning? And Marlon asked this question, and, you know, I don't think so. I don't think that's the right way to kind of go about business right now. If you were trading Trevor Penning, you'd be trading him at like an absolute low price. I don't even know what you could get from him at this point. I don't think it's a day one, day two pick. It's probably like a late day three at this point, because you're 2 years removed and you've shown everybody that it's extremely ineffective at this point, and that you aren't going to be able to get what you want to get out of him. So I don't think that's the right way to do it. I hang on to him. I try to figure something out. And if you don't figure it out, so I'd rather go bust trying to figure it out at this point, because if you're cashing it in, I don't think you're getting pretty much anything for him at this point. So yeah, that's not something that I would look into right now. Drewski asked, do you believe Peyton Turnisol has the potential to be an impactful pass rusher if healthy? I mean, we saw in last camp that he has, you know, the ability to still get some stuff done, and he looked really good, and it looked like he had taken the next step in his development. And then, you know, some of that stuff just wasn't ever to be able to put on film because he suffered the injuries again. So the injuries are the hugest part of this. But, you know, I think the question really isn't, can he be effective? Can he not? Like that almost doesn't matter. What matters, I think, is the Saints' perspective on it. And they got to go into the season, and this is no disrespect to Peyton Turner, like, I think you just have to go into the season acting as if he isn't on your roster almost. Like, you keep him on the team, you see what he can do, but you're replacing that. Like, you're trying to get something in there. And then if you have Peyton Turner to add to it, now you just have a more potent mix and you have guys competing for jobs. But I don't think you go into the season expecting him to be competing. I don't think you go into the season saying, you know, if he gives us this type of production, you got to just have kind of a blank line there almost, you know, next to his name, not penciling anything in as far as expectations or, you know, predictive production or anything like that. Like, you're just trying to operate like that. So you got to try to replace him. I think that has to be priority number one in the offseason. I think it's got to be someone you go out and get a vet for. Trip's kind of been the guy banging that drum. And I agree with him. I don't think you can go into the season or the offseason like trying to do that in the draft or anything like that. Like, it has to be something that you settle now so that you know you have proven production going into the season. All right, next one we got from Mr. Douglas. He says, what's going on with Lattimore? Do you think he's coming back? I mean, it's hard to know. I haven't heard anything on it since kind of the end of the season. But I will say that the contract thing was set up between the Saints and him. Both sides agreed to it. And the only reason to do an option bonus is to have the ability to trade the player. So it wasn't just a cap move. The cap move there, if he's staying on the team, is converting it to a signing bonus. Lattimore gets that money right now, and that would be the reason to do it. You convert it to that, it's guaranteed you get it. The reason to do an option bonus is that you aren't paying out that money until the date, the execution date, which is a week before the season, and that gives you time to execute a trade. So if you were to trade him now, that money doesn't stay on your books. It travels with him to the new team, and they pay it. So that is the reason to do the option bonus, that it gives a possibility of making the trade, clearing out the cap hit, and giving a team a little bit of flexibility if they do go about that. So I do think that, you know, it's definitely in the cards. I think it's something that all sides are open to, and it's definitely something that, you know, I got my eye on for sure. Going to our next one, what does Zach Bond's contract look like if he is re-signed? I don't think it costs a whole lot to sign him. It might be a couple million bucks a season, maybe a one-year deal. I don't think that they're really going to have to compete too much for him. Other kind of tweener players in that size haven't costed a whole lot. Kyle Van Noy got a decent contract when he left the Patriots, but then the next one after that was kind of league minimum. So I don't think Bond's going to cost a whole lot of money. I think you can bring him back relatively cheap. I don't think he's going to have too much of a market. And I think that that's one that's going to probably be somewhat easy to retain if you want to retain him. And I think they should. I think it's a cheap way to add to your pass rush. He's somebody that's fast enough to chase down mobile quarterbacks. I think you're trying to upgrade that position, but if you can bring him back and it doesn't really affect your cap or anything, I think that you definitely go about that. All right, let's get the next one up here. Clear that up. Since the Saints have a full hand of a new offense, what's the ceiling for Carr and AK? It's a good question. I think AK can have a much better season. The 49ers last year averaged 5.2 yards per play on outside zone runs. Saints were at 3.9. The average yards before contact last year for the Saints on outside zone runs was 1.1 yards per carry. The 49ers were at 1.8, I believe. So it's almost a whole yard of difference there. So think about that. And then the quality of hit you're getting at that distance. Like, if you're at a yard, your first contact's usually probably a defensive lineman. If you're at 2 yards, it's probably somebody in the second level. And, while I think Alvin doesn't necessarily have that same type of elusiveness that he had like in 2017, I do think that he still runs with that leg drive in a ton of power in his lower half. And when you look at guys like Zeke Elliott, like, you can kind of see that deterioration in his lower half, and that's kind of how he's aged. When you look at Dalvin Cook, you see the same thing. Like, there isn't the same type of leg drive there when they run. I think with AK, like, all the power is still there. I think some speed has went away a little bit, but the power and balance is still there. So if his first contact is going to be a linebacker, his ability to break a tackle, it increases, a ton. Whereas if it's a defensive lineman, I think that number goes down. So I think that his ceiling is higher. I think you can get him back to like 4.5 yards per carry for sure, if the scheme is effective, if the blocking is effective. But the question is, can you put all the pieces together on the offensive line in year one to get to that point? Whereas, the 49ers have been building toward that forever. And it's kind of weird that we're even talking about this, because the 49ers were second in outside zone runs last year. The Saints were fifth, but the Saints were just, they were bad at them. Like, they just weren't good at blocking them. So I think you got to build kind of with that in mind. And I don't necessarily know that the Saints have done a great job of that, but like injuries and different things have pushed it to that. So I think the ceiling's higher. And I think, I think for Carr, if you can just get him consistent, the ceiling's higher. I think we probably saw the worst version of Carr last year. It could get worse, I guess, but I don't think it will. If it stays the same, that's not good enough. I'm not saying it's good enough, but like, I think you can raise that bar a little bit on him. So we're going to get into a bunch more questions. We see a question in the super chat on YouTube. We're going to hit that right on the other side of this break. And we got a whole lot more stuff to talk about on the other side of this. Can Rashid Shaheed get to a different level under Kubiak? All that and a whole lot more coming right back after this short break.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, softshell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience. All right, welcome back to the OG NOF studio. Let's get into our money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Can Clint Kubiak unlock another level of Rashid Shaheed? And I think the answer is absolutely yeah. I mean, you look at some of these Miami, you look at the Miami Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins offense, the Houston offense with Slowick, who was the pass game coordinator before Clint Kubiak. You look at the 49ers themselves. You see a lot of creativity with the way they use their wide receivers. And I'm not making a Tyreek Hill comparison here, but like I think there's some Tyreek stuff that the Saints could take from Miami and put into here just with the way they use motion to get him into easier looks and the advantageous coverage and to break a defense a little bit. And I think if you do some of that stuff, you can unlock him a little bit. I think, you know, some of the stuff that you see Deebo Samuel do, I think you could do some of that stuff with Rashid. And they tried to incorporate some of that stuff last season and it was a little bit difficult for him, and then they abandoned it. But I think that you can open up that repertoire quite a bit. And if that stuff's taught a certain way and the players are digesting it and they're putting in the work and they see the ceiling, they see the results, they see the ceiling going higher, I think that they can get them to buy in and do all that kind of stuff and take it even further with him. But I think you can diversify his route tree. I think you can do a whole lot of things to get him more involved, be more dynamic, and make use of his unique skill set, his ability to make people miss in space. I think you can do better stuff on screens to get him into a place where he can catch and run a little bit. Like the Saints offensive scheme since 17 has done, and this isn't just a Pete Carmichael thing. You look at 16, 15, 15, I think the Saints led the league in yards after catch, and then 17, they were one of the worst in the league. And then it was just a downhill trajectory from there. Like, they just don't do a good job of scheming their players open in space. And I think part of that is the offense, and then the offensive shift in 17, it became more condensed. But then I also think it's just the change in defenses where the Saints are kind of running an older type of system for a lot of years. And then defenses got smaller, lighter, faster, and the ability to close space, I think, condensed it even more as they condensed themselves. And then there's just no room to operate to make plays in space. So I think just kind of getting into a more modern type of offense with these guys, I think Olave can do a lot more after the catch. I think Shaheed can do a whole lot more after the catch. If you get these plays to where you're creating space and then getting them the ball in those areas, I think that you can absolutely get that going. So I think definitely the answer is yes. There is a lot more they can do with him. I think his yardage total can go up. And yeah, I mean, I think definitely there is stuff that they can unlock from that. All right. Our next one from Matthew White. Is there any possibility they let Rashid walk in free agency? No. So he is an exclusive rights free agent. So they can essentially just say, hey, you're staying, and keep him. Juwan Johnson was on a similar type of deal last year. Exclusive rights at that point, I believe. They decided to sign him to like a longer extension. It would make sense to try to do that with Rashid right now, because you get him cheaper right now than you would later. So you're signing him early. You're giving him some assurance. You're basically 2 years out of it, because after this year, he'd be restricted. So he's under your control for a period of time. And that could take the average per year down a little bit if you make that deal now, give him some guaranteed money, give him a signing bonus or whatever. But it will be interesting to see how it goes, because he left his agent to sign with Drew Rosenhaus last year. And, you know, I think Drew's someone that's going to look for the big money, and he should, and Rashid should too. So that's going to make it interesting. But yeah, I think it would be in everybody's interest to kind of get something done now in locking that money for sure. Going to the next one. Here we got watching the 49ers. Their receivers are good at getting yards after catch. Will our prototype for receiver change to fit that aspect? Well, I think they need to add one more. And I think absolutely that guy needs to be a big bodied yards after catch type player. It's something that this team absolutely has to figure out. It has to get better at it. And they just need to get easier yards. And that makes things easier on the quarterback too. Like every single yard Carr had to get last season, he basically had to get himself. And that's not making excuses for him. I think it's just the nature of the offense is built that way. And they just aren't guys getting open in space. So getting guys open in space, but then also having players that can take advantage of it after the catch, definitely is something that I think should be a priority. I don't think Olave is necessarily always looking for that. Like he makes his catches and kind of gets down or gets out of bounds kind of quickly. But I think if you get him in the right situation, he absolutely can be effective there. I think Rashid definitely has that in his DNA to try and go and get it. But I do think they need to get one more guy that can make those tough plays and make plays after the catch for sure. So I don't know if that's necessarily a change of prototype, but it's just something that I think as you're doing the scouting, going through it, looking for it, it's something that they should definitely keep an eye on for sure. All right, we got some breaking news here from Jeremy Fowler. Saints are expected to hire Andrew Giannakko as quarterbacks coach. Per sources, Giannakko has worked closely with Kirk Cousins. Justin Fields now is set to coach Derek Carr. That's interesting. Kind of like the pedigree. The Kubiak offense obviously was a big thing in Minnesota. Gary was there. Clint was the OC there at some point. So that's something that is definitely kind of fascinating. We're doing this live and figuring this out live. So I'm about to pull up this guy's resume here to kind of get a better look at it. But yeah, I kind of like the pedigree there. I was kind of thinking it was going to be Kubiak's brother. I thought he would maybe try to bring him from San Francisco, but that is not one that is going to be coming here. All right, so let's see. He was a quarterback's coach in Chicago the last 2 years, which is kind of fascinating. I know the Saints like Luke Getsy quite a bit, is one of the candidates for this role. So they're going to have him there. And then he was the Vikings QB coach in 21. So he worked with Kubiak in Minnesota in 21. So that makes all the sense in the world. And then he was there with them before Kubiak was in other roles. Giannakko was their wide receivers coach in 20, assistant offensive line coach in 19. So, I mean, he's moved all around. That's kind of interesting. My man coach at Mercyhurst, shout out to Mercyhurst. I went to college there in 14, was a QB's coach there. Joe Lombardi also coached there at one point. So that's kind of fascinating to see there too. So yeah, I mean, I kind of like the pedigree here. And, you know, he's got familiarity. We'll kind of see how he does. But yeah, if you need somebody to kind of distill the Kubiak offense to the quarterback, having a guy that already worked with them once before, I think is something that makes a whole lot of sense. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, they got their QB coach now. So things are kind of starting to come together there. All right, next question. Do you expect there to be a major player personnel change in anticipation of a new offensive system? In a little bit, yeah. I mean, you have to change your players a little bit to kind of fit some of the different things that they're doing. And, you know, obviously people got to fit the system, so it's different. Yeah, it has to be different. Like, I think the offensive linemen have to change a little bit. You know, I think that it's a different type of player on the line. You have to be a little bit more athletic. And it's kind of crazy because, like, it isn't a major shift in the running philosophy for the Saints because they were doing this stuff. But, like, you look at the way these lines are built in some of these other teams and that are running this system, and they want a certain type. So I think Kubiak's probably going to want a different type of player there. I don't think it massively shifts the prototypes because the Saints prototypes are literally just averages, league averages. You go take every wide receiver and they add up the height, the weight, the speed, the hand size, the arm length, all that stuff, and then average it out. And that's the prototype, is that league average of what plays an X wide receiver across the league. And then they set, you know, a minimum standard to that, which is just kind of like percentages across the board. And if you're going below the minimum standard, then you just have to have a reason why you're breaking the prototype. So really all their prototypes are is literally what works in the league. So like when you see people being mad about their prototype is literally just what works across the league. It's not even their opinion, it's the league's opinion. So they're just doing what everybody else is doing at those positions and making sure that they're staying within what's playing in the NFL at that time. And every year the prototype changes because they're resetting it off of the previous year. So back in, you know, if you looked at like Ireland's draft guide from when he was in Miami, I'm sure the standard for a weak side linebacker is significantly different than what it is today. Because back then it was like big hulking run first type players more at linebacker. And now it's, you know, Pete Werner types at those positions. So Pete Werner probably wouldn't have fit the prototype of Miami, but he is the prototype now. So that's just kind of what that stuff is. All right, moving on to our next question. I'm locked in on the vitamin water, man. It's just that's my go-to. Vitamin water needs to start sending these because the product placement is it's good. They get their money worth out of me, and I'm paying for it. All right, let's move on to the next one. Is there a position in the draft that the Saints should double dip in with their picks, regardless of what is added in free agency? And yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because if Lattimore goes, I think, and you don't really need to go twice at cornerback, but maybe I would, depending on if they bring back Yadam. No, it's not cornerback, I don't think. They got to get one for sure. They got Howden at safety, but I might double dip at safety just to try to get a little bit younger at that position. Lonnie Johnson had the injury. Abrams kind of, you know, I thought he had a good end of the season. Great character guy. Someone that I think is excellent to have in the locker room, but not necessarily, you know, a top tier player there. So that's one. Offensive line feels barren, but there's a lot of bodies there. Nick Saldivari, I think, is kind of maybe somebody that could be a fit at that position. I'm just kind of working my way through it a little bit. Running back, they got Jamal. He's still there. I think you could double dip a wide receiver for sure. I mean, there aren't a ton of bodies there. So I think that's something that could definitely be. Defensive tackle, I think you could maybe look for one. Defensive end, I think you could double dip. Should they double dip a tackle in the draft? I don't know that I would double dip a tackle. I bring back Pete and maybe try to get another one. But it is interesting because, like, Ramchek could be gone soon, but I don't know that I would expend that type of resource at it. And you probably aren't getting a great tackle later in the draft. They don't have a ton of picks. So yeah, it's just kind of interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think wide receiver is probably the one that I would go to if I was double dipping in the draft. Should the Saints consider moving Cam Jordan inside? It's definitely something that could be a thought. I mean, this is something that people have been talking about since I got here in 2014. Like, people, I don't know, for whatever reason, didn't like Cam on the edge back then and thought he should move inside then. But it could be something that I could see them doing maybe now. I think it could make sense to try to get him into some of those spots. They got to get more out of him. I think him getting healthy will help, but I think they definitely need to have a plan to get a little bit more out of him. Do you think the Saints or even interested in drafting a QB this year? I don't think it's like one of their top priorities, but I don't think they're super, you know, locking that in. Oh, we want to get a quarterback. I think if the right opportunity is there and the value is way too great, yeah, but I don't think it's something that they're actively looking to do. With Derek Carr's track record with new offenses, does the 49ers offense seem complicated for the QB in the system? We kind of hit on some of this stuff. Already kind of going through it, but I think this offense is supposed to be simpler for quarterbacks, and I think it's supposed to be easier for them. I think it's less responsibility on the offensive line. There's less slide protection, all this stuff. Like, I think it's all that simplified. I think the reads are supposed to be easier for the quarterback. It's supposed to put them in situations to where a lot of stuff is declared before the snap. So there's a lot of stuff happening that takes pressure off the quarterback. And like I said, they do a lot of stuff where they disguise a lot of things, and they go about putting their offense together in a way that's complicated for the defense but easier for the quarterback. So it shouldn't be overly complicated. It shouldn't be overly complicated. He should be able to pick it up sort of quickly and be able to hit the ground running. They have to figure that out. Otherwise, I think they're in trouble. Going into the season with some of that stuff. All right, next question from Chung. Worst case scenario, DA and the Saints have a poor start. Does he get dismissed during the season? I think this is a fascinating thought experiment. I don't think they're going to be terrible next year. I have faith in Clint Kubiak. I'm going to start drinking the Kool-Aid, I guess. But I have faith in their ability to be better on offense. And I think being better on offense allows DA to kind of focus more on the defense and leading the team and takes his hands off the offense a little bit, sort of like what he was able to do for Sean Payton when he took over for Rob Ryan as DC. It kind of eased things up for Sean. He took his hands out of the scheme, and it just allowed everything to kind of run better, more smoothly, more efficiently, all that stuff. So I don't think we're going to end up in this scenario, but it is a fascinating thought experiment because I just don't think Mickey Loomis is the type of guy that's going to make a season, in-season type of decision. It would have to be an absolute disaster for them to do that. So I think it is fascinating to think about. And I wouldn't expect it. I wouldn't put my money on it at all. All right, moving on to the next one. Will Taysom be used like Debo in this offense? I think a little bit. I think some of that stuff that you see, some of the creativity, the motions, all that stuff a little bit. I think what makes Debo so effective is that he can do like so much in that offense, and he's better at a lot of stuff. But yeah, I mean, I think they'll be creative with him. And you know, I think even looking at it, Trey Lance, the way they used him on some of the QB power stuff, like with the motion and the way the 49ers set it up, like it was almost better than some of the stuff the Saints were doing with Taysom. And, you know, they would use these motions of misdirection and then have him going off to where he only had to beat a cornerback on one side of the field. And if you can create that same stuff within the defense for Taysom, like it's exciting and some stuff that I think that they might be able to figure out how to do. So yeah, I think we'll see some similarities, but I don't think it's going to be like a carbon copy. I don't think you look at like the Debo package and say, that's Taysom. I think you take some of it, sprinkle it on, take some of the other stuff and sprinkle it on. So yeah, I mean, I think it'll be okay. How do you feel about moving on from Lutz for Groupie, knowing what we know now after the season? I think Groupie has a decent future. I think Lutz would have been the better guy for right now. And I mean, I don't think it was a mistake, but I think single season vacuum, Lutz was the right guy. I think wide view, Groupie's probably the right guy because I think he's going to be a good kicker for quite a while. So yeah, I mean, I think it's something that you can second guess a little bit, but I don't think it's really worth the effort because I think Groupie got better as the season went on, and I think he'll keep getting better. Do you think the second season and better O-line play will be better for Jamal Williams? Well, it can't be worse. Like, I don't think that season could have been any worse than it was. Extremely disappointing. I thought Jamal was going to be good for this team, so I was wrong about that for sure. The team was wrong about it, and, you know, I think they definitely want to change up that that narrative for sure. Which tight end is going to be used the most by Kubiak's system? Last year, the tight ends were up and down, in my opinion. Well, I think Juwan needs to hit the ground running early in the season. He had some injuries and stuff that I think derailed it a little bit, but I think he needs to be the guy he was at the end of the season, the whole season. And if he is, I think they'll find a way to get him involved. You know, I think Foster's usage might go up a little bit if they want to have some of that like disguise stuff in it, but I think they need to try to get another guy. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tight end friendly system though, for sure. So, moving on to our next one, the Martin's Wine and Spirits question of the day. We got to get this graphic down off the screen so that we can see this. But the Martin's question of the day, can we get this question down off the screen, guys? Can we do that? But yeah, the Martin's question of the day, Martin's is home to a wide selection of handpicked, barrel-selected bourbon, whiskeys, and so much more. Martin's so much more than just wine. And yeah, which Saints offensive lineman will and won't fit Kubiak's system? I think it's interesting because the guards in this system are a little bit smaller than and more athletic than the guards that the Saints have kind of favored, at least on the left side of the line. I think that Caesar fits it profile-wise. Eric McCoy fits it just fine. The tackles, you know, I think Ramchek's lost some mobility a little bit. The left side, Pete is a pretty mobile, is a tackle. So, like, him staying at tackle will probably fit it a little bit. And then the guards, I think, could be a little bit more athletic. I think Nick Saldivari is actually somebody that kind of fits the idea of the system pretty well because he's athletic. He can get out there. He can run and do some of that stuff. And you get it going that way a little bit. So that's something that I think they definitely got to keep an eye on, though. I think that some of the profile on the line does change a little bit. They were like the most athletic line in the league in 20. If you can get back to that, like, you're cooking with some of that outside zone stuff for sure. So yeah, there's a handful of stuff that I think is going to change a little bit just across the board, but it's not too far off. I think that you just got to be healthy and athletic a little bit. Let's go to one last question here. With most teams chasing that Shanahan-style offense, it won't be long before defenses adjust to it. Why not try something different despite success? Blend the old with the new. Yeah, I mean, look, it's proliferated the league a little bit, but it's just the motion and stuff is kind of where it's at right now. So I don't think you go off of it. Detroit's running a similar system. Like, this is what's working in the league right now. So I think it's just better to be kind of present right now. Like, the difference between this is just doing stuff that doesn't work as well. So you know, I think you can take it and twist it and you don't necessarily have to run it the same exact way. But I think this is the stuff that you kind of want to be building off of right now. So I think it's the choice that you have to make. Like, the Saints can't afford to get it wrong either. That's the thing. Like, so I don't think you try to play off ball or whatever, because that's because too much of the league's doing it. No, I mean, yeah, they're going to adjust to it at some point, just like they always do. And then you kind of have to veer off it a little bit, but they got to be good right now. So you can't really take a risk. I think you had to make the cutting edge choice of being on the forefront of what's working in the league. And then you kind of go from there, because you can't afford to miss on this hire. But that's all we got for you guys today. We appreciate you tuning in. We will be back Monday. We'll be live from PJ's right around noon. Mike will be back for that show. And then we'll have your regular programming throughout the week. I'm assuming the Clint Kubiak hire will be finalized next week. So we'll probably hear from him at some point in a press conference. We'll have all the coverage on that. We got the stuff breaking down the direction the offense is going on the website right now. So if you aren't signed up, make sure you do that. Use the code MOTION, save 20%, and we'll talk to you next time.